إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we looked at the ayat قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. And today we look at the other one after that, which is تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The tafsir of this ayat, of course, is written down, and alhamdulillah, great mufassirin have mentioned many things about it, so I'm not going into this from a tafsir angle. But more importantly, from the angle of how do we relate to this ayat. If you look at this thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done two things. One is, He has mentioned some things with respect to His own glory and majesty of what He does. And how He does it, Allah mentioned two sets of things, one at a macro level and one at a very personal level. Allah said tuliju layla fi nahar but tuliju nahara fi layl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Allah extracts and takes out the night from the day and the day from the night. Now there are many discussions written on this in terms of the use of particular words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used, what it means and so on and so on. As I said, I'm not going into all that. I'm looking at the issue of the fact that Allah is mentioning something over which we have no control and over which we can never have any control. You cannot reduce or extend the time of the day or the night. We cannot remove something. We can't say let there only be day, we don't want the night. Or let there only be night and we don't want the day. We can't do that. Night and day are a consequence of the movement of celestial bodies, the rotation and revolution of the earth, and all of this is not in our control. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about something which He does and only He can do. Then He mentions وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. Allah says, Allah extracts the living from the dead and Allah extracts the dead from the living. Now at a very immediate observable level, extracting living from the dead. For example, we see cases of accidents where the pregnant woman, she dies and the child is extracted by cesarean section and the child is alive and well and happy. Similarly, other things like this where the person itself is dead. But another example of this also is the re-leavening of the earth after a long drought. Right? For example, if you go to Botswana, the Okavango Delta, it's an amazing thing. It's the whole river which comes, and in the summer, it completely dries up to the extent that the ground is cracked. But when you go there after the rains, you cannot believe, because there is deep water, there are hippos, there are crocodiles. All the high parts have become islands completely. Animals, to go from one to the other, they have to swim, and obviously all the animals can't swim that long and that far. There are huge the rushes and reeds are so high that when you go in a boat, you can only see the sky, you can't see over the top. So it's almost like driving through Manhattan, you have only skyscrapers and you can only see the sky and what is in front of you. And all this becomes completely dead, totally dead, completely it becomes a black, cracked soil in the summer. All of that water completely disappears. There is no water. And then when the monsoon comes, it's flooded. I mean, it's completely flooded. I mean, you have hippos and crocs in that place. I mean, what about you? Ajeeb Allah ki shaan hai. So here is something which is totally dead. I mean, if you look at it, you say, this is dead. Khalas, there is nothing in it. But there is living in it. If you go to Etosha National Park in Namibia, Etosha is a salt plain. It is flat like a tabletop, quite literally. I mean, you can sort of, you know, put your cheek on the ground and look and you can see for miles. One flat thing. It's white. In Etosha, if you drive, you come back looking like a white man, because you're like a whitewashed man, for example. You're completely covered in white dust. Totally. Flat plain, there is not a blade of grass. You can't see. I mean, I drove there for 2 days. I mean, God knows how many, you know, kilometers. Not one blade of grass. You can't see anything there, right? Once in a blue moon, you see one tree standing. But Etosha is teeming with game. Etosha has got thousands of springbok. It's got elephant. It's got giraffes. It's got lions. It's got the works. Where do they find the food? What do they eat? They're not living on love and fresh air. I mean, they got food. So, this is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He does. So, living, extracting the living from the dead. Some apparently things are dead, but life is there on it. And we can go on this line. I mean, that's why I say, I love the Qudrat of Allah and the nature that there is. You know, things after, one after the other, you see things. Then Allah said that we extract the dead from the living. And that is a very, very personal example to each one of us individually. And that is our nails and our hair. Now imagine, if this was not dead tissue, you would have to go under general anesthesia to get a haircut. It's as simple as that. Each hair would have to be cut by a surgeon surgically and cauterized, otherwise you would bleed to death. One haircut and that's the khalas, that's the end of your life. Nails, you clip your nails and you're dead. You won't even, I mean, even your nails, even now, clip it a little bit inside and you see the fun. From the dead tissue, you go to the living tissue. Sometimes it happens, but accidentally you clip it a little bit inside. And then the highly painful and the figure will swell up and all kinds of things. Now this is dead tissue coming out of the living body, both the hair and the nails. This is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah is saying this, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives risk to who He wants without hisab. And without hisab is both in the worldly context and in the akhirah. This is my dua which I make as far as risk is concerned. I say, Allah, give me without hisab. Meaning, in this dunya also, give me without counting, and in the akhirah, don't take hisab. You gave it to me, khalas. That's it, give me without hisab. So, this is the beauty of this ayah, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about this issue of risk, but before that, He is saying this. So now, in my lecture on risk, ordained or obtained, there's a book also, plus there are, I think, a series of lectures. So those who are interested can see them. The issue of risk is, if I'm not mistaken, every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned risk in the Quran, and He has mentioned His sifat of razaqiyat, being the raziq and al-razaq, He has always linked that to His power and to His glory and majesty. Wherever Allah said this, He said, He talked about His power and His glory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ ولكن اكثر الناس لا يعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say that it is my Rabb who increases provision or decreases it. And most of humanity does not know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna Allah huwa ar-razzaqu dhul quwwati al-matin. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is ar-razzaq and he gives rizq by his quwwat, by his great power and his strength. So in this ayat also, Allah is mentioning things over which we have no control. Things which are, you know, what can we do? Both at the personal level and the macro level. Things which are beyond our control. And then Allah is mentioning risk, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that here you are worried about this one life of yours and whatever you have little bit. But remember who you are asking. Remember where it is coming from. Remember who is the one giving it to you. This is the one who can do this. Then who are you? What are you? Why are you worried about that? Seriously, think about that. As one of the shuyukh, he said very, very beautiful thing. He said, Allah does not ask you for tomorrow's ibadah. Why do you ask him for tomorrow's rizq? Now, making dua is not wrong. You can definitely make dua for tomorrow's rizq and day after tomorrow's rizq and the rizq for the next 100 years is no problem. Inshallah, that's not a sin. The issue is this worry. This worry. What will happen to me? What will happen to you? What will happen to you? You do not even know what will happen to you next minute. So what is going to happen to you? And that is the whole thing. I mean, I don't know whether I mentioned in the Fajr event or somewhere, but when I was in Kuwait, this time I went, our dear friend Arif Jamil is no more. And so I was telling my other friends there, Manshauddin Saab and all that, okay, you know, you're missing him. And last time I was here, he was with us. And wonderful man, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus and give support to his family. And he was in his 40s. I don't even know if I was 50. So Manshabai tells me that between that time and now, when you came back second time, he said 4 other Hyderabadi people have died. And all of them were under 40. Under 40. And these are, we're not talking about accidental deaths, it is natural deaths. So we don't even know whether we are going to live for tomorrow. And we are worried about what will happen to me, what will happen to my children and their children and their children. So Allah is not preventing us from making effort, and definitely we must make effort, we must do our best. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, stop worrying. Why are you worried? For what? You are worshipping the one who brings out the night from the day and the day from the night. You know, the very different ways of interpreting that. Day from the night from the day also means, inshallah, it could mean it brings out knowledge and knowledgeable people from a state of ignorance. He gives hidayat to people who have no hidayat. And vice versa, people who have hidayat and then they go astray and they do, you know, all kinds of, some of the biggest fitna of the world are fitan which were started by people who were great ulama, great scholars who knew Islam, and then they went off on a tangent and, you know, destroyed themselves and other people in the process. Right? The whole issue is that therefore Allah is saying that this, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls the entire universe, and he does all of that, and why are you worried about one thing? Your own personal, welfare. And that is why these ayat of the Quran, of the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are meant to give us comfort, are meant to help us to stop getting worried and hassled about things, and to focus on the real thing of real benefit, which is the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you have the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Do you, is Allah pleased with you or not? When you die, when I die, will we be in a state where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us or not? That is the key thing. We of course make dua, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be pleased with us. But that is the whole point. The whole point is this, to therefore do our best, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put khair in it, and then inshallah, we ask Allah to be pleased with us. But not to keep on worrying, because this worry is a useless thing. It can't do anything for you. Make the effort. Instead of worrying, make effort. Effort at least will do something for you. Just sitting and worrying, is what does it do? So that is why these ayat of the Quran, where Allah speaks about His glory and majesty, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have this in our heart, for this to sink into our lives and our hearts and our very beings, so that we live our life which is free from stress, in which we are concerned about only one thing, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we build that connection gives us this reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, which frees us from all worries. Inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, tomorrow if we have the life and will, we shall do this and talk about that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.